You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, the weekly podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. This is part 6 of our magical boy story. "Well," said Viola archly, "you look better than I expected. Glad I didn't bother to source a naughty nurse's uniform." Shove sat up in the hospital bed, wearing silk-striped pyjamas. His dark locks were messier than usual, and he looked epic, hungover, tired, like he'd been indulging in nightshade encouraged shenanigans and debauchery all week. Except there had been no debauchery for him. He was working in the lab like he was supposed to when... "What were you expecting?" Chauvelin replied, sounding unruffled. "Oh, you know, something dramatic, blood and scars and..." Viola mimed the various dramatic thoughts that first ran through her head when she heard the word explosion. And if that didn't show how worried she'd been, well, Viola Vale didn't mime for just anyone. "Sorry to disappoint," said Chauve, "though I'm mostly sorry you didn't bother about the nurse's uniform." "It wouldn't have suited you anyway," she sniffed, and climbed onto his bed to cuddle up against his side. "Does it hurt?" "Not on the outside." He gave her a squeeze. "How'd you get in?" "The hedge wizards were firm about securing me down." "I have my ways." She wiggled her fingers at him. "A pinch of illusion, a handful of your mother causing a scene in the corridor outside, a healthy bribe to convince Jules to use his innocent face for good instead of evil, for once in his life." "You're not supposed to use magic in a hospital," Chauve told her sternly. "It messes with the equipment." "Yes, they say that about Mirrorweb too. But I caught 4 different nurses checking their status updates on the way in." Viola snuggled closer. "Better to ask for forgiveness than permission." "Like you've ever asked for forgiveness for anything in your life." He patted her hair. "What's it like out there?"
"Quieter, now your dad has stopped marching up and down the corridors bellowing. He's been taken into some kind of high-up hospital office, so he can threaten to sue them all with greater discretion. Your mother is crying a lot, on Jules mostly." "But she hates Jules, even more than she hates you," said Chauve in wonder. "I bet she wishes he was here instead of me."
"Oh yes, she told him that, to his face.
He agreed with her, and now she can't stop hugging him. It's terrifying."
"Huh," said Chauve. But he wasn't laughing.
"It's okay," Viola said, burrowing her face into his neck. "It's temporary. That's what they're all saying. You'll be charged up and buzzing again in no time."
"Too soon to tell if it's permanent or not," Chauve corrected her gently. "That's what they're saying to me. They're saying, don't get your hopes up." "No, that wasn't good enough." Viola growled beneath her breath.
"When won't it be too soon? No wonder your dad is furious. When can they give you a straight answer?"
"No idea," said Chauve, his voice shaky. "I don't..."
"What if it doesn't come back, Vale?"
"It will," she promised his neck.
"Of course it will." She couldn't imagine a world in which Ferdinand Chauvelin had no magic.
"Chin up, Chauve. Everything's going to be fine."
12 midnight. After party. Viola's original agreement with Jules did not involve an after party, let alone an after party at that house, where Chauve now lived with his new magic-is-optional BFFs. But the combination of battlefield adrenaline from the fight with the troll and the shots she'd downed immediately afterwards meant that she had forgotten why this was a terrible idea. Also, she was not going to let Jules' bloody nightshade win the medal for most supportive friend. If that meant going to a party, then goblin damn it, Viola Vale was going to a party. It all made some kind of sense at 10 minutes past midnight, in a haze of dragon's blood shots, with gin and rosemary chasers. Chauvelin and Sage the drummer lived on the top floor of a terraced house that they and their friends referred to charmingly. Please impose as much sarcasm as humanly possible over any use of the word charming, as the Manic Pixie Dream House.
Viola didn't get the joke, but she had learned to arch an eyebrow at the sign of any joke she didn't get, with this crowd who'd somehow dragged Chauvelin into their low-rent cult. With Jules's arm wound around her waist and Chauve pressed warmly against her other side, Viola stepped into the kitchen of the upstairs flat to be faced with a large, nearly life-size terracotta statue of Medusa, complete with hissing snakes, covered in a creamy turquoise glaze. Viola glared at Medusa, and Medusa glared back with an identical tilt of the jaw. "Oh," said Sage, with a shit-eating grin, "that's where I've seen you recently." A tiny Japanese girl in enormous glasses jumped out from somewhere. How many people lived in this house again? And peered at Viola. "You're the angry Gorgon girl," she declared. Sage nodded. "This explains so much." "I thought I was imagining it," blurted Chauve, "but it really does look like you, Vale." Viola arched her eyebrow so hard she was surprised it didn't make a dent in their ceiling. "I have no idea what any of you are talking about." Jules leaned in, and oh no, once he got a teasing topic between his teeth, he would never let go. She didn't like these people enough to let them make fun of her, and if Jules started in on her, she was going to have to set fire to someone or the house. Probably someone. "Nightshade, heads up," said Sage suddenly, and tossed Jules a beer from the fridge. The combination of Jules being given a drink and his shock that Sage McLaren actually spoke to him directly, wow, that crush was still going strong then, made for a very effective distraction. The flatmates grabbed their own drinks, and Jules made some kind of snarky comment to Sage about one of their shared classes, and the moment was lost. He forgot to make fun of her. Viola avoided Sage's face after that because she was worried she might display gratitude, and that would be embarrassing for both of them. 15 minutes later, more of their friends rolled in the door, and it turned out that, yes, Sage and Chauve's third flatmate was the warm-eyed sculptor Viola had hooked up with the day of the accident. She had regained enough of her cool by then that she was able to pretend she'd never met him before. Declan, a full name now, and if he was Chauve's friend, she'd have to learn it, gave her an awkward smile and kept a respectful distance. Hebe brought Viola a glass of wine and didn't attempt to make friendly conversation, which made Viola warm up to her a lot. This was actually the most relaxed that Viola had been at a party for ages. Usually she was in the centre of things, dancing, preening, teaming up with Jules and Chauve until recently to dazzle the crowd with their wit and snark. It had never occurred to her how exhausting all that was. Here, no one expected her to say a word. In fact, given her behaviour earlier in the evening, they'd probably prefer that she didn't. Hebe's rock star sister glared at Viola from across the room. Declan kept giving her shy, thoughtful glances. Chauve was mostly wrapped up in a conversation with Hebe and her friend May, the one with the enormous glasses, but he kept glancing over at Viola too, as if surprised she was still here. "Welcome to the club." On the other side of the room, Sage and Jules traded barbs, getting more and more competitive as they tried to prove which of them was smarter or sharper or more dominant. Jules practically vibrated with energy as their magic sparked against each other. Exhausting. Sage's bedroom door was open, within Viola's line of sight. He had more books piled on and around his bed than she did, and she amused herself for a while, recognising the magical texts by their spines and bindings from a distance. Then she stilled. "Is that a copy of Brahman's Thermaturgic Compendium? They never let you take that out of the library. There are 4 forms just to get to look at it for 15 minutes, and that's if you pledge not to breathe on the pages." "Professor Medius lent me her copy," said Sage, looking only slightly ashamed. "I knew you were her favourite," Jules complained. Sage didn't deny it, looking smug. He waved Viola towards his room. "If you'd rather hang out with the books, be my guest." She hesitated, but only for a moment. I can tell you're being mostly sarcastic, but I am taking you up on that offer. Sage gave her an airy wave, ushering her forward. Viola frowned at him. If you're not careful, she said, as she got to her feet, you're going to end up being my favourite. Jules let out a small whine of protest, but then Sage laughed, and apparently watching that miracle of nature was more interesting. Viola rolled her eyes at them both and marched into Sage's room, letting the door fall mostly closed behind her. Wine and conversation were all very well, but books were books were books. Thanks for listening. You can follow me on Twitter and Tumblr as at TanziaR and at Sheep Might Fly. And check out my Patreon page, www.patreon.com/musketeerspace, for supporter rewards and perks. See you next week for part 7.